Sheep without a shepherd are bewildered, not knowing where they are or where they are going. They get lost ever so quickly and cannot find their way back to the flock. So it is with people. People without the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, are bewildered. They wonder about getting lost in place after place, never finding the way to true life.
That's the Reverend William Flippin, Jr., and today he brings you a powerful message entitled Counterfeit Clergy. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend William E. Flippin, Jr., pastor, or as he puts it, lead servant of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Atlanta, Georgia. William came to Emmanuel in 2013 after serving for 5 years as pastor of St. Matthew Evangelical Lutheran Church in Columbus, Georgia. A church growth and church planting consultant, William is a graduate of Morehouse College in Atlanta and graduated with a Master of Divinity degree in 2002 from Interdenominational Theological Center and Morehouse School of Religion. He has also earned 2 Masters in Theology degrees, one from Candler School of Theology at Emory University and another from the Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago. William, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here, always.
You served as lead servant of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Atlanta for 5 years now. How has the church evolved and grown over that time?
Well, it has evolved tremendously just by nature with me being the first African-American senior pastor in 70 years. In fact, this week, we celebrate 70 years of God being in the Emmanuel Lutheran Church. So one of the things that I see evolution is just in the church campus, just how the church campus in regards to remodeling and how I believe the Cascade Corridor has looked upon Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Lutheranism in the South, which is sometimes not as known as being in the Bible Belt. So that has taken place. And also to deal with the dichotomy of being a multicultural inclusive church, which they've always been, but to understand it in light of not just events, but a really process and being a part of their DNA.
You've been very busy also on other ministry fronts, particularly in the ecumenical movement. Tell us about some of the experiences you've had in helping to bring the body of Christ together.
Well, now I'm the executive director of E3, which stands for Ecumenism, and now Environmentalism and Engagement. Previously, it was Ecumenism, Evangelism, not proselytizing, and Entrepreneurship, but through my conversations with particularly the city of Atlanta, which is the biggest context, and I've changed it up, but it's still the 3E movement. The clergy here in Atlanta and other places have been terrific in regards to the collaboration. I'm a member of Outcry, which is 200 clergy strong against violence to deal with advocacy, nonviolence. One of the things that I'm working on now is to develop a collaboration where we can have lobbyists, just as the Presbyterian Church, they have a lobbyist to be at the forefront of laws, not just when they happen, but to really shape and implement the laws as clergy persons to the people. Another project, too, ecumenically that I'm working on is to bring the Cascade Corridor and Buckhead churches together for conversation, transparent conversation, just here with Doc Hollingsworth. He's worked with Providence Baptist Church in the Cascade Corridor to continue that model of conversation.
Great. You even got to meet the Pope, didn't you?
Yes, I did. In February 2015, I was a part of a delegation with the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, who's been here to preach, Elizabeth Eaton. And it was various bishops and those who are on staff with her. And I got an opportunity to shake hands with the Holy Father. And since that time, also last year, around the same time, I was elected to the Lutheran World Federation Church Council, which comprises of 75 million Lutherans worldwide.
Wow.
and I am the co-chair for Public Voice and Advocacy.
Wonderful. Well, as part of your ecumenical drive, as well as your evangelistic emphasis, you also earlier this year became a member of the Board of Trustees of the Day One parent organization, the Alliance for Christian Media. Why did you accept that invitation and agree to help in the leadership of this ministry?
First of all, it's one of my greatest honors and invitations ever. Initially, I agreed to it because I just like Peter Wallace and his leadership and what he's about, working with him for the last 5 or 6 years. But in talking to Nancy Zittek, who's the chair, it allowed me to know that it's a wonderful group of collaboration. And what I really love is they're open to ideas mm-hmm. collaboratively. It's not just something just to sit at a table, but is ever evolving based on the stream. So I'm just looking forward to events and times of collaboration. Recently, we celebrated the life of Bill Law. Mm-hmm. I never had a chance to meet him and his wonderful family, but it shows also the many, many partners and affiliates throughout the years as well. So I'm just delighted to be a part of it.
Well, we are honored to have you involved in that way. We'll be looking deeper at being an effective pastor, shepherd, church leader in your sermon. But what would you say have been the challenges you faced as a pastor for 10 years and an ordained clergy person for 18 years?
Pastoral care. Hmm. I would even endeavor to say that that has been my biggest weakness. I feel like I'm relational. I care for people. But the needs of the people in the parish, because congregations in general are aging. Mm-hmm. They are requiring that and just previous pastorships. So that has been the biggest challenge for me to understand that. My passion in regards to ecumenism, being out in the community to deal with really the needs and mm-hmm. Parishioners deserve those needs of pastoral care and their mm-hmm. expectations.
Mm-hmm. In light of the abuses of clergy in all denominations and faiths, how can the pastoral office be restored ethically, do you think?
Well, I believe that it takes a reassessment. It starts not just with the clergy, but in looking at seminary education of how mm-hmm. clergy are trained to make a curriculum more relevant to an individual's needs. For instance, instead of just taking Greek and Hebrew, those mm-hmm. are important, but mm-hmm. how does that tie to what you're already doing as a community organizer or a healthcare professional? And also to really assess, no matter how many psychological exams you have, the bottom line is that you have to be called and to love God's people genuinely. And I believe from that natural gift or that natural affection will limit the abuses. But also, we are imperfect people.
Mm-hmm.
And we still, as Henry Nouwen says, that we are wounded healers.
Mm-hmm. Your sermon today draws from the Hebrew Scriptures, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23. Would you give us some context for this passage? Who is Jeremiah and what's he prophesying about?
Well, Jeremiah, affectionately known as the weeping prophet, he was one that stayed in the midst of exile, and that he in some ways, some people say he looked like a false prophet because he said mm. God will continue to restore Judah, and Judah fell. Mm. But I believe that Jeremiah was looking toward a messianic future, particularly with the Davidic restoration of the Davidic, where his family worked with the Davidic monarchy. So mm-hmm. I believe that in all prophets or all persons is a message of hope. Jeremiah is unique in a sense of his struggles. And in this passage, he proclaims, he says something that goes to the core of power, just as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and many others, Jesus later on, is to prophets and to those who are into institutions, systemic reality. So I think that's important, and that just shows his prophetic zeal mm-hmm. and what God put on his lips.
Would you read the scripture for us?
Yes. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness.
William, Jeremiah is addressing a problem among the leaders of the nation, both the religious leaders and the civil leaders. And so your sermon is going to be addressed a lot to clergy leaders, but lay people should listen too, right?
Yes. I believe, especially in this day of time, and this is a mistake that we as clergy make, where the laity has so much power. In fact, I would even say that they have more power collectively than a clergy person or a sage on a stage. Jesus shows us that he had all power and dominion, but he shared it with his disciples to even do greater works. So I think it's important, too, in light of how so many the engagement, especially what I deal with advocacy of civil leaders, politicians, of how their attempts to even amend the Johnson Amendment, which will give greater freedom for clergy persons to endorse and to not separate church and state. So that question was a little bit more integrated back in those days.
Mm-hmm. William, your sermon is entitled Counterfeit Clergy. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you. Father Federico B. Gomez de Esparza was a Catholic priest affectionately known throughout his parish in Yuma, Arizona as Father Fred. He was a priest that hailed from Mexico and who served bilingual parishes in Arizona. By all accounts, Father Fred did his job well. Everybody loved him. He was known for his sermon mastery and knowledge of the Roman Catholic Church. He also knew the scriptures, administered the sacraments, comforted the sick, conducted weddings and funerals, everything that clergy are supposed to do. He was later found out of having no credentials and was counterfeit. The parishioners who trusted him were deceived, describing him as a wolf in sheep clothing. The discovery of counterfeit clergy can often cast a shadow on others who serve faithfully. Incidents like this, however, can also help us clergy take a more in-depth look at shepherding God's people authentically. What happens when a pastor isn't who he or she appears to be? The weeping prophet Jeremiah was troubled throughout his career by those who pretended to be real prophets but were not. They preached a straightforward message of peace in our time and were no doubt popular. Here the prophet denounces them. He calls them shepherds that destroy and scatter sheep of God's pasture for lack of visitation. Three significant accusations come against civil rulers who remind us of many of our politicians today. Destroy, destroy. They crush the people with their unreasonable demands and restrictions. Dispersion. Scattered my flock and driven them away. Through their wicked policies, the people had to move and sometimes leave the country. In our land, this corresponds to the movement of businesses to foreign countries and the movement of people from slum-infested areas because of government policies. Disinterest have not visited them. The leaders were interested in their own positions, not the people. But proper shepherding was precisely what the kings of Judah had failed to do. Jeremiah's prophetic word singled out Joachim as a prime example. His charge against false prophets is devastating. With an exclamation of woe, God spoke through Jeremiah a message of hope that after this time of exile, God would raise up shepherds to lead them. The ultimate shepherd for Jeremiah is in restoring the Davidic kingship. This new shepherd king, the Messiah, would rule over a reunited flock and bring salvation and safety to his people with justice and righteousness. I will gather the remnant, bring them again to their folds. God's prophetic word of restoring Israel's future. Israel's best days are ahead. Like Israel, our best days are in front of us. God has a remnant. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. The gospel lesson for today from Mark 6 shows the disciples exhausted and in need of being recharged from the demands of ministry. The disciples needed a quiet, deserted place to get along with God. The Lord cared about them. He cared about their exhaustion. They had poured themselves into his mission and into the lives of people. He knew they needed rest and rekindling, refuge and consoling, relaxation and worship. He had compassion upon them, so he said, "Come ye apart and rest a while. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus was a superstar, and the crowds thronged to him, reaching the place where Jesus' ship was to dock. In great anticipation, the crowd had grown to 5,000 men, not counting women and children. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Later the prophet exclaims, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray, and they have turned them away on the mountains. They have forgotten their resting place." The challenge, as pastors we often succumb to, is losing sight of people who are as sheep without a shepherd. Contrawise, Jesus was moved with deep, intense compassion because the people were as sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd are bewildered, not knowing where they are or where they are going. They get lost ever so quickly and cannot find their way back to the flock. So it is with people. People without the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, are bewildered. They wonder about getting lost in place after place, never finding the way to true life. Even if a pastor isn't in the liturgical limelight, he or she may still feel driven to perform according to the pronouncements of church growth gurus or the example of peers they perceived as being more successful with larger churches and bigger salaries. Jeremiah's warning to the kings of Judah should hit us present-day shepherds about 6 inches above the clerical collar, whether we're mega-church or mini-church shepherds. The same thing happens when we look at the people in our congregations as numbers to be counted, as giving units who will help us build a more prominent building, or as a fan club who will help secure our reputation with the denomination. The more we focus on the external trappings of the pastoral office and neglect the issues of call and character, the more we can resemble a Fred Brito, counterfeit clergy, leaving a shattered and scattered flock. The truth is that fake clergy eventually gets caught, and the higher our ambition takes us, the longer the fall can be. Perhaps the best way to avoid faking it in ministry is to go back to basics and follow the example of the Good Shepherd. Let us celebrate in this counterfeit culture, and we serve a shepherd that counters deception with love. Instead of destruction, the Good Shepherd offers construction. Instead of scattering the flock, the Good Shepherd is a gatherer and indeed will seek lambs that are lost. Instead of driving the sheep, the Good Shepherd will lead or stand in the midst of the flock. Instead of ignoring the flock, the good shepherd will make sure the sheep are well fed. And instead of striking fear and terror into the sheep, the good shepherd will gently lead them. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Amen.
The Reverend William E. Flippin Jr. was our preacher today. William is the pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his message entitled Counterfeit Clergy, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Kelly Huff Rogers, Senior Minister of the Scarsdale Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, in Scarsdale, New York. Be sure to tune in for her inspiring message next time on Day One. This is Sherry Miller. Day One has been on the air since 1945. That's every week for 73 years. Today, Day One reaches communities across America and a dozen other countries, and hundreds of thousands of people access our podcasts and videos online. Many listeners tell us that Day One is their church. We're always there when they can't attend church. And whether you're a pastor, Sunday school teacher, or simply searching for hope and inspiration, dayone.org is always available too. We operate on a tight budget to keep this ministry flourishing. Your generous gift can make a major difference in countless lives across the globe. Please mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. William Flippin Jr. offers some final reflections on his sermon today with our host, Peter Wallace.
William, the word pastor in Jeremiah's understanding differs from present-day definitions. You said a pastor or a shepherd was more integrated back then to include civil leaders. So Jeremiah is castigating all the leaders, religious and ruling. Jeremiah was troubled by those who pretended to be real prophets but were not, who destroyed and scattered God's sheep for lack of vision. Do you see similar situations in our world today that affect church and state issues?
Yes, I definitely do. And it's not just when clerical abuses, namely sexual or improper financial setbacks or those things that put in the front that of clergy abuses. But I do see those same aspects of the motivation to be clergy is to, not only just provide for your family, the basic needs, which are important, but to abuse that I think is a travesty. I know it's a travesty when most of your parishioners live in a certain income bracket and you clergy have Mercedes and, living above the means of the people. That to me is a dichotomy of what Jesus showed and was about as a servant leader. So that disturbs me, and I believe that is going on today. The worst level has ever been.
Mm-hmm. After his woes, God spoke through Jeremiah a message of hope that after this time of exile, God would raise up shepherds to lead them, you said. And the ultimate shepherd for Jeremiah is the shepherd king, the Messiah, who would reunite the people and bring salvation and safety with justice and righteousness. And we see Jesus fulfilling that role, but maybe not quite as Jeremiah envisioned. Mm-hmm. So what happened, or perhaps what will happen?
Well, in the eyes of Jeremiah, I believe that he was definitely talking about David, mm-hmm. who was the prototype, and as you see throughout the Gospels, of the shepherd king, the messianic, almost on the white horse to restore mm-hmm. The people. But I believe that for me as a Christian, it has already happened with Jesus, maybe not in Jeremiah's eyes, but Jeremiah's motivation of a message of hope is great to always have as a prophet in the midst of doom and destruction. But I believe it's taking place. And it's interesting that this gospel lesson from Mark chapter mm-hmm. 6 is with this mm-hmm. as to show the counter of the counterfeit that's found in Jeremiah's woes of Jesus in the midst of exhaustion, the very time where he needed to take self-care, mm-hmm. still gave and had compassion upon the people, not just to say, do this or to lay hands or to pray or a prescription, but to help, mm-hmm. to help at its highest levels. So that to me is the counter of what Jeremiah, and it has been fulfilled ultimately in the cross of Christ and his atonement and sacrifice that he gave all to humanity.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus' words there in Mark 6 regarding sheep and their shepherds are both challenging and comforting. You said people without a shepherd, without the Lord Jesus Christ, are lost and bewildered, never finding the way to true life. Now, how can laypersons be involved in helping lost sheep find their true shepherd?
The laity can do that through their gifts. Is through not just admiring a shepherd figure as we used to mm-hmm. as a pastor, but hearkening first to their baptism and the voice of Christ, who mm-hmm. says, my sheep hears my voice. And then from there, it can be collective and communal with the shepherd, namely pastor, preacher, prophet, or what you will call them, with the laity having mm-hmm. the greatest strength and making sure contextually that this can take place.
Mm-hmm. William, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the coming days?
To know that Jesus had compassion in the midst of exhaustion, and this is in light of my present struggles as a pastor, to be mindful of the mandate and the calling that Jesus provides as an example to all of us in the midst of clerical abuses and abuses among all professions. To be led with integrity.
Mm. William Flippin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever. Amen.